on the show today is a guy called Casper Rauschman. I've known him for a while. He lives here in Copenhagen, and he's currently the head of growth for a company called Templify. It's a high-growth company, over 200 people now in the SaaS space. And in terms of his background, you know, he's kind of a unique guy in a sense that he's from Copenhagen. He grew up here, and his family is also quite heavily involved in the marketing space. He used to be a heavy gamer, probably still is a bit, and a lot of these early influences on his life kind of made him into the type of marketeer that he is today. So the four things that we jump into are, you know, how does sales or how did being in sales influence the way that he does marketing today? We also looked at how on earth do you go about choosing the right startup that's a good fit for you as an employee? We also went into, you know, how do you develop some sort of side hustle which makes sense for you and building out your personal brand? And the last piece we kind of covered is how on earth do you manage a family and work-life balance?
Casper, thanks so much for jumping on. For anyone who doesn't know him, I'm sure anyone in Copenhagen for sure will know who he is because he's out there hustling, going to events, speaking about what he loves to do. But he's how would I define what you do exactly, Casper? Because like would growth hacker be an understatement?
No, I think that's definitely a large part of it. I'm the head of growth today at Templify. I used to be, just until recently, I was the traffic manager, which means that I handled all of our paid acquisition for approximately 2 years at Templify. And that's kind of where I built up a lot of my, at least, marketing hacks and what I did in marketing. Now I've moved over to the more full funnel growth. So I do more things that impact all the different funnel activities. So customer success, sales, our inbound BDRs, everything, and also rooted in marketing. So what I'm essentially trying to do for Templify is trying to do a lot of small things, but changing our strategy a bit. So we've been a lot of push strategies. We've been like here's our product, please buy us. I'm going to try and see if I can move us more to be a pull effect. So essentially from push to pull. I think during my university years, I for a long time in the beginning, I had my first job was as a, technically it was a gas station employee, but the next job was a phone salesman. Which was actually the best job I've ever had in terms of shaping who I am. I've been for 5 years.
Holy crap.
From 16 years old to 21. Back then, there was a lot of people buying newspapers, the old school newspapers, and you earned a shit ton of money. Like, it was really, it was like a golden cage. That's usually how I define it. Because it was like, at some point during the last 2 years, I hated it, but I earned a lot of money. And it was like, as a student, it was like heaven.
Yeah. It was beer money. Come on, let's be truthful. It was the beer money that you kind of washed
it
away.
It was massively beer money. I was living at home. I had no expenses. And I just were earning a lot of money. But the thing, like, in terms of development, this was the best thing I ever did for myself. Because it showed me, because one of the things you learn when you learn how to sell to people who you never talked to before, essentially cold calling, right? Is that you can you can do a lot more than you think you can. So understanding, like, I always talk about the psychology of people, understanding what triggers them. Yeah. That is the best thing I've ever learned for myself. I use sales in every day, like, to convince stakeholders, to get people to buy and to do a presentation in front of people. That's all part of what I learned back then. And the whole writing, people always go like, Casper, when you write posts or you do ad copy and stuff, it's always so living, it's so vivid. That's because I know what people like to hear. I've talked with 100,000 people in 5 years.
Oh my goodness. But it brings up a really cool point. What do you think at this point? Let me throw one at you. Yeah. Do you think that, let's say on a fundamental level, marketeers, either in growth or in normal marketing, they have a significant advantage if they've done some sort of sales before? And do you think enough people with marketing backgrounds just don't have enough sales background to really understand both ways? And then you kind of end up by default in these silos by mistake. Like, I'm a marketeer and, you know, I need to do lead gen, but I have no idea how to sell. Do you find that strange, or what do you think of the actual experience from who you work with?
Absolutely. Like, absolutely. Like, and I think a lot of people don't have it. I think they might have touched it at some point, but haven't been in it. Like, I was there for 5 years, and then I worked 2 years after as a semi-sales marketing guy. So my point is, Absolutely. And I think there's maybe a few people where I say it's not absolutely necessary. Graphic designers can probably live a little bit without it. But people especially who do ads and who do copy, God, it's really important. It's really, really important. It's just like if you haven't sold to people before, you can have an idea of what's going to work, but you don't actually know. Like I would buy this, but then you go like, no, you won't. Like I know that I've talked with the person we're trying to buy to. He's not gonna buy this. Like he's not gonna buy. And it just makes your, I always refer to the gut feeling. It just makes it a lot better. Like your gut feeling is a lot more trustworthy if you talk to 100,000 people trying to convince them. And you suddenly get also like you get this more the burning platform.
I'm gonna write that down. So, that's gonna be like the headline of this podcast.
When people haven't had anything at stake before, they treat everything like differently. When you're in sales, I used to be, when I was in sales, it was 100% commission. So if you didn't sell anything, I would have a penny, but I would have days where I earned a fortune, right? That's the burning platform. So you know, like if you don't work right now, you're not gonna earn anything. And if you don't, like back then I didn't have a family to care for, but I have a lot of respect for people who do the same thing today. Like if they don't go to work, their families don't eat. So when you don't have someone chasing you, and this is the chaser. I usually listen a lot to these motivational podcasts and YouTube videos and stuff.
Which ones? Like what's your favorite? What's your top one?
Oh God, I have this, there's this guy called Matteo C who does these motivational videos on YouTube. God, I love him. I'm a huge sucker. Matteo C. I can send you the link. He does these like, he clips movies together with good sound and stuff. He's really talented.
Oh, I love creators. Okay, Matteo C.
And I think, and I'm a huge sucker for this stuff because I think it's just a mindset thing. But my point is just, if you don't have a reason to run, you won't run. Like and a lot of marketeers don't have a reason to run. So they always go for the, like, they want to find a thing that looks beautiful, is more visually. Where I'm like, I want to find a thing that gets most customers. I don't care about the other things. Like, I don't get me wrong. Of course I care about branding, graphics. I'm not saying it's unimportant, but I've always been like, my mentality is the same mentality as the sales guys. Like, we want to close business.
That growth mindset, right?
And I think that's something I've really brought to the game.
The next question I wanted to ask you was, you know, how do you choose a startup or a company that you want to work in? You know, obviously there's sometimes you just want a job, and I think you mentioned you've had circumstances where you just wanted a damn job. But when you're in the luxury position to be choosy, how would you, or how have you been like, yeah, that's a company that I want to work in? Is it because of the leadership? Is it because of just the industry? I think that's an important one, linking to the people.
Good, great question. So I have two answers to this, I think. So let's answer before I was where I am today and where I'm now. It's widely different. Before I was where I am today, I literally got Templify by LinkedIn applying my CV, got to the interview the next day. Then on Wednesday, I got an interview. Thursday, I had a talk. And then Friday, I got the last interview and got the job.
Holy crap.
So super fast, I just wanted a job. And at that point, it was like, I knew I wanted to work with startups. I knew I wanted to work with small companies, relatively small. I knew I wanted to work in marketing. And I was quite open to everything. These days, like, I'm not going to lie, I get because of what I do and stuff, I get a lot of job offers. At some point I was up in like 2 or 3 a week. And stuff.
Yeah. We've all been there. I know exactly what it feels
exactly.
Like.
And I think you get a lot as well. And a lot of space, get a lot of job offers. There's a lot of them jumping around. There's a reason I'm still with Templify. I've be complete transparent. I was offered to be the CMO of a company. I was in talk of being the CMO of a company with 600 people. I said no to that one.
Sure.
And there's, for me today, it's more like, first of all, I have to believe in the product. Like, I just have to 100% believe in the product. The reason I turned the CMO thing down, one of the main reasons was I didn't believe in the product. I don't think the product was that strong. And I can be the best marketeer, best salesperson in the world, but if the product is not strong and I don't see it getting strong,
you can't do anything with it. It just doesn't make sense. I get it.
No. In terms of company sizes, I'm actually like, Templify is getting to a point now where I almost think it's too big. That doesn't mean I'm leaving, but it just means it it's there's becoming more and more people you have to involve and all these things, and I'm not too fond of that. It's okay, but it's not my favorite thing. I tried it at Trustpilot. It's exactly, that was the same thing. So in terms of sizes, I try to look for something smaller. But a lot for me, it's in the end. So if product aligns, then the next thing is I have to, if I have a manager or as part of management, I have to align with the managers. We have to see things the same way. There's nothing worse than having to work with someone who sees things completely different. So Glenn and I, we see things extreme, like a lot of the same. He's from Jutland, so he's a bit more down to earth.
How's that Danish accent? It must be different to that Copenhagen accent.
So
you guys discuss in Danish or in English?
We talk in Danish. We talk in Danish.
Damn it.
But he's more grounded, but in how we view life in general, we see it the same way.
Solid.
To work with people, I have to look. I've literally, so I do some consulting on the side. I've had to fire customers because I just, like, we were just not on the same, like, we're not seeing things the same way. And sometimes you realize that quite early on, and sometimes you, unfortunately, like, you have start up something and then you realize it's not. So my point is product first, and then the people you work with, the close people.
Completely agree. I mean, I remember, and I've said this a few times in this podcast already, but when I met Jeppe for the first time at Pleo, I just fucking knew that this product was going to be amazing. I just knew. Like, I was just like, this is so insane. Like, I was like, how has someone not broken down and invented a better way to manage expenses through a smart card? It was just like, I just remember that epiphany moment, like, holy shit, this is going to be big. And this was, I remember I met them, this was right when they were like 8 people. This was super early, way before the seed round. And then me and Jeppe kept in contact. And then right when they raised that 3 or 4 million from Creandum in their lead round for the seed, then I was like, yeah, let's go. And then I left my job in 2 days. It was fast. Like, I knew it. I just knew it. And I just another tip, but I think for me, I offered to work for free for Pleo for 2 weeks. Just because I wanted to feel it. I wanted to see, I was in a luxury position where I could do that, but because I didn't work on Fridays. So I had a negotiation with my previous companies that I worked 4 days a week and I had Fridays free. So for 2 weeks, only 2 Fridays to be fair, just 2 days. But I offered, let me come in for free. Let me handle some of the demos. Let me see how it feels. Because for me, maybe like you, it was so much about leadership, the environment, and like understanding how the product felt to sell it. And I think within that, we just knew. And then there was just like, it was also de-risking for Pleo. It's like, this is amazing. Yeah. This is like a match made in heaven.
I love that approach. If you can afford to do something like that, then it's great.
And but I think it's like, because
same way with internships, right? Like internships are a good way in the door. Like we literally had interns who were like, okay, when you're done, talk to us. Cause
holy shit. Yeah.
Right,
but also I think the biggest part for me there is I've worked in 7 startups. The grass is always greener on the other side, right? They can promise you this is going to be an amazing opportunity, you're going to grow, but then you're like, actually, this is a good shit.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's the same thing for me here. Like, I'm part of Templify. How many, like, except Pleo is a good example of another company that's growing at the same rate, right? But there's not a lot of other companies that are growing at the same rate right now. Like, the graph, like, most likely won't be greener. I won't like to join a bigger company, probably, except maybe if I'm really high management, maybe I would like to try that one day, but not now. So what other company do you find that's less than 200 people that's going at the same rate in Denmark? I'm in Copenhagen even, because I'm not ready to move that much right now. So
no, it sounds like the perfect storm for you. But I resonate with you. I mean, the main reason why I left Pleo was it was too big. I wasn't enjoying it. I lost my passion. I really enjoyed the growth from like 20 to 100 people. That was my bread and butter. I loved that process because it was hustling. It was mayhem. You know, we had to make it work. It was make or break. We had to get to the next funding rounds. And the structures were different, right? When you become a 200 plus company, in order to sustain that growth, you need to have very specific processes. You just need to have that. And that's not for everyone, but it's also an exciting part to be part of that process. But anyway, let's fast forward now to the real meat. Okay, so the podcast, this version is the employee evangelist, and I project you as a real good example of this. You've already put some hints in. You have your little side hustle, you're consulting on the side. what I would love to go deeper with you is, how did that start? Like, how did you realize, you know, I'm really good at this marketing thing. I have this special brand thing that I'm kind of curating, and I'd love to understand the motivations behind it. And then, you know, you started to mention, you know, you go to talks, you do these things, and, you know, you get a lot of people reaching out to you. How do you then build that sustainably? What is your mindset on why you're doing it? And, you know, how are you in a position where your company that you work with is allowing you to do that and not being like, you know, I don't really like you doing this on the side?
Okay. So there's
three dynamics to that question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's a lot of ground to cover here. So I'm going to start with the beginning. So with most things in my life, I stumble upon this thing. So it initially started when I joined Templify. So there was a big algorithm update on LinkedIn. I was just like everyone else, I've been looking for jobs on LinkedIn. So I was naturally, I kind of gotten into the mood of being on LinkedIn. I didn't write it in any point. I started seeing the same people over and over, and they were like writing about these algorithm things. I was like, okay, cool, that's interesting. So I started digging a lot, and I learned all these things. Like, okay, cool. Then I tried it for myself. So I did a 30-day challenge where I would post every single day and see what happened. I reached like 50 to 100,000 people. Yep. And in a month, right? And I was a nobody. Like, please, I was a nobody. I'm still a nobody, but I was not anyone back then. I reached a lot of people. I was like, holy shit, this is powerful. And I started to do more and more of it. And then I was like, then we had a guy called Thomas who used to work for us, a really awesome guy. He's with a company called Compliant now. Thomas said, Casper, can you teach everyone else this? Because like, whatever you're doing, that's cool. Like, I was like, yeah, I can definitely do that. So I started teaching. So now, and then I did it every month. So every time we had new employees start at Templify, I would teach them this. Nice. And that made 1 hour course, how to do these like LinkedIn hacks. And then of course I got naturally curious, started using bots and started using tools, and then like kind of escalated. But I quickly discovered like the reason I after doing these teachings, that was also like a learning period for myself. It was like, why am I doing this? And like, I quickly discovered a bunch of things. So first of all, I see it as a two-edged sword. So see, it's very good for your own personal brand, but it's also very good for the company you work at, in this case, Templify. It's especially good for recruitment purposes because people see the company you work for and they allow these things and they're like, oh, really cool to work with. It's awesome for that. Secondly, let's be completely honest, and I always say that to people, most people won't be in the company they are in right now in 10 years. They just won't be. And I probably won't, and the other people next to me, it would be kind of cool if I did, but I probably won't. That's okay. That's fine. That's pretty normal. So Casper will still be here in 10 years, and he will need to do something else. And,
exactly.
And brand is here forever, your own personal brand. So you need to work on it. And then when I made that discovery, I was like, that makes so much sense. That's what I need to do. So the consulting started like totally random. Like people would start write to me like, hey, Casper, can you come help? You want to talk? So I set up a personal goal for myself where I said, in the beginning, before I had a kid also, but the beginning, I wanted to meet one new person every week for a coffee. I did that for a year. I literally met a person every single week.
Holy shit. Why didn't you never meet me for a coffee, man?
I don't know. It's super. I don't know. But it's like it's a small town. But I met a lot of people this way, and sometimes you give some, and sometimes you take some. Like in terms of sharing, that's fine. But that's also sometimes people will be like, "Hey, Casper, can you help us with this?" Okay, cool. Remember when I started helping people, I would charge pennies because I would like. Can I actually help you guys? Like, I don't even know if I can. They're like, okay, I can really help you guys. And then I started accumulating, but I've never done anything outbound. Like literally everything I've done on the side has always been people writing to me, Casper, I need help with X, Y, Z. Can you help us? Never done anything. Never reached out to anyone and say like, hey, I can help you with this. I've never been aggressive in it. I quickly discovered that the way to sell on LinkedIn, if you want to, like I don't even wanted to, I just did this for fun and I still do it because I think it's fun. But the way is like when you're not trying to sell, when you're just sharing these, like when you're just sharing knowledge, that's when people discover, okay, you really know your shit, right? Like people can sell when you're selling a mile away. There's other people in Copenhagen space just like me. And every time they talk in presentations or something, they always go like,
so annoying.
Things I always do these things and I'm trying to do this thing, and you can smell that you're then there the whole whole presentation kind of goes to shit, in my opinion, because then it's like, you're trying to sell me something. Okay. I don't do that. I don't think I've ever mentioned that I do consulting on the side on a presentation, like in front of people. I do it here because we're kind of talking about it, but I never bring it up. Because then, like, I don't need it. Like, I'm not, it's, yeah. It's, I just
but here's, think, here's, not to cut, but here's, I think, the difference, and this is why it's authentic.
Yeah.
You have a job. You have a steady income. You don't need the consulting. So when you come from a position of authenticity, like, I just fucking love what I do. And you can reach out to me. Yeah, I can give you help. But, you know, I also respect my time. I'm going to charge for it. But, like, you know, I'm not out there pitching my services because I need this money to survive. And I think that's the fundamental difference. But what I'm a big believer in, maybe right now in coronavirus land, it just shows the incredible importance of having multiple income streams. And I think the people that are so shitting themselves right now, and I understand and I feel for these people, they're about to get fired, right? A lot of people are about to lose their job. And if you haven't been clever about either having a reserve of cash, investing your money in something, the stock exchange is pretty shit right now, so everyone's probably crapping themselves. But, you know, just being clever about that, or diversifying your portfolio of, like, you know, maybe building out an online course or having a side hustle, that is fundamentally at least the wake-up call for me. Because like you, when I was at Clio, tons of founders reached out to me. How did you guys move to the UK? How did you do this? And I would meet them for free. I just, like, yeah, I just want to share it because this is valuable information, but it's my perspective. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but it's my perspective. And that was so enormously powerful from a self-confidence perspective, but also understanding other perspectives. Oh, you guys are nowhere near like Clio. You guys are much shitter or much more different or whatever it might be.
And typically also, whenever I share things, people always go, like, Casper, why do you share all your knowledge? I'm like, as we talked about before we started recording here, but it was like, when I share things, trust me, 99% of the people, they will not, even though I show them the way, they will not go do it. And they will not know how, even though. So they always reach out to me, Casper, I think we need help doing this. Okay, I'll show you how to do this. And so
I think that's the...
Yeah. It's not hurting anyone. And I do like to help people. I actually get a lot of energy. I have a networking group where we meet as a bunch of growth hackers every 2 to 3 months.
And hey, where's my invite? Oh, yeah, I'm waiting. I'm not a growth hacker, sadly. I've been called a growth hacker once.
Yeah, you'd be a good fit, actually. So put it out.
I'm officially waiting for my invite in the inbox.
Yeah. but we meet and then we share how's it going, growth hacks, and it's kind of almost like a psychology treatment thing, because, like, we always say, sure, oh, I'm battling with this thing, blah blah blah, and then we always invite a guest in to talk about their story and, like,
wicked learn.
I think the big thing for me has always been, like, I want to learn, I want to be better, and I've had these, like, I think Guillaume Caban,
he's a beast, like,
He's my idol, and Brian Belfour as well, but Guillaume even more so.
But did you see Guillaume? He left Rift. Like, that was
He left Rift, and he does consulting now. I think he's well off.
I think he's going to be good for the rest of his life.
I've heard his rates and stuff. I think he's more than fine. He seems like a great guy. My point is, he's the guy I want to be. So I always say to myself, how do I become more like this guy? Okay, cool. I need to learn these things. Cool. So learning. And for me, I think the day that I stop learning, just like, it's like a cliche, but the day I stop learning, that's the day I fall short. So I prioritize having these coffee meetings. So I, even though I have a kid, I'm super busy, I don't have a lot of time. I always, like, when people reach out to me and want to have sparring, mostly today is a lot, I'm giving a lot away for people, but also means that the days when I need stuff from people. So I'm like, hey, I think it's like a month ago, 2 months ago, I wrote about, guys, I need more help. How do I become better as a project manager? Like, a lot of part of my job today is a lot of stakeholder management and project management.
Oh, you're getting to that growth stage in the company when you got to do the politics thing and the whole stakeholder management. Like, I'm not
a big fan, but it is what it is. And I always believe that it's good to learn how to do it, because then you can also do it on a smaller scale, and, like, it's a good lesson. But I realized quickly that I'm not good at this. Like, I'm not, that's not my strong suit. So I need to get better at this if I want to succeed as.
Okay, last question for me for now, because we've been having an amazing chat. How do you manage family and work? You know, you have a kid, you know, I can't remember how old your child is, but I think a lot of people, you know, that a lot of people resonate with this. You know, you're a busy person. You know, a lot of people have a little family. They're starting out. They're trying to make that and trying to invest time in that. How have you found the balance while also performing at a high level? I think that's because I'm in a luxury position. I don't have kids. I don't have a mortgage. I'm so free to invest my time directly in and output, right?
So great question. So right now, my girlfriend is still studying, still finishing her studies, and she's going to have a full-time job, hopefully by the start of next year or something like that. So in that period, it's been all right. But it's still been like, we have a set rule. I literally have a rule where we say, I can't do more than two things a week after
work. Wow.
Where I am not at home, at least. So I try to, of course, sometimes it's three times, but most of the time I try to see two times a week, which means that includes everything. So if I want to go play, drink a beer with buddies or go play, I like to play games, magic cards with my friends.
At Bastard Cafe?
No, I play at a foul cigar, but also a Bastard.
Okay. You know, I used to like Bastard, but I can't do board games. I really suck at
that. I love it. Anyways, but so I have to prioritize. And yes, after having a kid, I really have to prioritize. So that's also why when I meet people outside. And the second time thing is I do only do these things after work. So from 9 to 5, that's work. That's Templify time. And I don't do anything that's not... I think I consider this thing we're doing now is pretty good for Templify, so I'm doing it. But otherwise, I would never.
Yeah, you listen to that, Templify. What did he just said? Yeah, what he just said. No, what time is it? It's like it's 11. It's 11:58 on like what's today? Today's a Tuesday. Oh my God, we're getting so much trouble.
Yeah, but at the same time, also like in these days, also like everything blends together when you're working from home. I catch myself working 7, 8 in the evening and stuff like that. But definitely, I work a lot, so I get in quite early sometimes. Not quite early, but I get in around 8, and then I leave early from work to pick up kid once or twice a week, my kid. Then I take him to bed around 7 or 8, and then I do some stuff from 9 to 10 in the evening sometimes.
Nice. That's how I'm making notes. You know, when I'm ready to start my family, I got to have these things ready. Okay, I'm far away from it, but you know, this is my note taking lesson.
You become a lot more structured when you get a kid. Like,
it's God,
like,
I can imagine. One
of those things where you have to. There's just no like, if there's no other option, like you have to plan calendars. You have to.
But do you get inspiration that you can then put into your work from having a family and kids? Like, does that help at all, or is that not really connected?
A little bit.
Creativity, right? I saw, you posted a video recently with like little kids from Templify. That was great.
Yeah, exactly. We did. We were like, management thought it would be cool to have like a video of people's kids. And we're like, yes, let's do it. And then we brought together a bunch of people. And then it was we wanted to do it internally, but I was like, okay, let's just push it. Like, everyone's cool.
I love that, man. Hey, Casper, this was such an awesome conversation. I am a big fan. I really admire your focus and what you're doing.
Thank you.
I can't wait to follow more, and I can't wait for this one to hit the streets and see what people think. But it's been a pleasure. And thanks so much for taking your very specific time on a Tuesday from Templify's time to come and talk to me. But but hey, if you need anything from me, always let me know. But mad respect.
Anytime.